All right, it is good to see everyone today on this February 13th, 2022. And we're continuing the message we began last week, all about God's love for us. All about God's love for us. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13 through 15, or 13 through 15, and we will begin today. We're tying principles together where the children of Israel were given marching orders and directives by God as they were to enter into the promised land. And in a lot of ways, the promised land for the children of Israel represent us living in the center of God's will as New Testament Christians indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so many times people will say to me, "Brother Leo, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what the problem is." The problem is you're not in the center of God's will. There are areas in your life not under the authority of God's will. There are areas in your life where you're living in deliberate disobedience unto God. And God must be true to Himself. And we tie the hands of God and He can't bless us. And so we've been applying these things and you know, we're looking at obedience now. And I made the statement last week, obedience not motivated by the love of God. You know, if we're obeying God not based on the fact He loves us and we love Him, it becomes draining and drudgery. And religious patterns and behaviors. And there's no energy, vision, passion, enjoyment. But everything in the Christian life must flow out of the love relationship that we have with Jesus. I'm going to show you today. You know, Peter rhetorically asked the question, "How do you love somebody you can't see?" Well, I'll show you in the scriptures how you love somebody you can't. "I can't see him, but I know him. I can't see him, but he knows me, Sharon, and he has called me friend." So let's look at it. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. The first rain, the latter rain, that thou may gather in your corn, your wine, your oil. And I will send grass into your fields for your cattle, that they may eat and they may be full." So what we have here, and you know, when you study the Old Testament, a lot of people, all they get caught up in is the commandments. The commandments. You got to live by the commandments. Well, here we understand there are three elements as the children of Israel were to enter into the promised land. Number one was the love of God. The love I feel from God based on everything He's done for me. And I reciprocate that. I return that love toward Him. And my love for God's love for me is why He died on the cross. "For God so loved Leo Doyle, He sent His only begotten Son, that if Leo would commit his life to Him, entrust his eternity unto Him, He would save him and give him everlasting life." So the motivation of the cross was the love of God. And when I receive the Holy Spirit, the first work He does is shed abroad the love of God in my heart. Romans chapter 5, He sheds abroad the love of God in my heart. So I'm given the capability to love God back based on all He's done for me, based out of gratitude. And that leads me into a life where I want to please the one who loves me. And I want to please the one I love. You know, and I don't think it's a happenstance that we're teaching on this, and it's Valentine's Day weekend. I didn't plan it that way. Matter of fact, I didn't think about it till just now. And you know, it's not that I didn't think about Valentine's Day. I mean, that's a big deal. I started early. Started on Friday. Took for Valentine's Day. I took Patty crappie fishing, and we had a wonderful time. She loves that. We're out there at the marina, Cameron, and all these men. Two men are fishing over here. Two are fishing over here. It's me and Patty, man. Me and Patty, God, Lord blessed us with five big old fat slabs, you know. But when you do like that, that's the back of a crappie, you know, and you pull that, well, you pull the fin out from the back, and you got the bones here and all this meat, and you got, that's how you eat them. And when I catch them, I grab them by the lips, and I'm looking at them, you know. Game warden says they got to be 10 inches long, but I'm not worried about how long. I want to see how fat they are. No, I'm teasing. They were all over 10 inches. Not that I would shoot over the limit or anything, Cameron. All right, I got to pray so we can get in the Word. Father, we just thank you so much for the beauty of your love that you have for us. And Father, I just ask you right now, for forgiveness, a daily sin, weekly sin. I pray, Lord Jesus, for a cleansing by your blood, to be anointed with your Spirit, to share this truth. Father, let me wash the feet of the people that are here. And Lord, it's not just those that are hearing my voice here or on the website. It's me too, Lord. I need a greater understanding of how much you love me. I need a deeper understanding of the height and the width and the breadth and the length of how much you love me. For Father, your love for me, and as I grow an understanding of that, it casts out fear. It casts out anxiety. And Father, as I grow in the understanding not only of the love you have for me, but of the love you have for my family, my spouse, my children, my grandchildren, my friends, Miss Betty Edwards, as we're praying for her, as I grow in understanding of how much you love them, then, Father, I can trust you with their lives. Because I know you not only love us, Lord, you have this supernatural desire to take care of us, to supply our needs. You know what's best when we don't. And most of the time, we don't. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you just take over. Speak to all our hearts and fill us with more knowledge, where we can just make that statement, I am so loved by God. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Judy and Betty and Ken. For God so loved Coach Sis. For God so loved me. And he so loves me today. Hold us, Lord Jesus, in your loving arms. In your name we pray. Amen. We have these three elements in Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. It shall come to pass if you hearken and obey my commandments, which I command you, if you love the Lord your God and serve him out of the passion and love of your heart and soul, I will give you what you need. I will bless you with what you need. Verse 22, if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, I want you to do them, but more than that, I want you to love me, the Lord your God, walk in his ways, I want you to cleave unto me, hold on to me, then I will drive out your enemies and give you victory. And Ken, I was thinking about that particular voice when we were singing, Our God Reigns, Our God Reigns. Do you need victory over something this morning? You know, victory in your personal life, a stronghold. You know, we're praying for victory for the United States and whatever enemies we must face. Victory for democracy, victory for freedom. But I want to praise God for the victory that exists in the personal life of the child of God. Maybe victory over anxiety, victory over a family situation, whatever it is. I want to tell you two things right now. Number one, God loves you. And number two, God alone has the solution. And he has the power to bring about that victory. So, Everything is based on an understanding or a grasp of the great love that Jesus has for me. It is immeasurable. So go again to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And we looked at this last week, and this was a prayer of Paul. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says this: "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he's saying, I'm bowing down in honor and adoration of God, and I'm going to say a prayer for you. Terry, he's telling the church at Ephesus, this is what I pray for you. You know, there are times I'll come by the garage and I can say, Terry, I've been praying. I knew you were sick. This is what I've been praying for you. So here we go. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you will be rooted and grounded in love. That's the same thing God's telling the children of Israel as they're going into the promised land. Everything's got to be done on the foundation of love. Everything must be done on the foundation of love. I praise God for godly parents. Don't you praise God for godly parents, godly grandparents? Don't you pray? You know everything they did for you? Everything they're doing for you now? You know why they do it? Because they love you. They're doing it because they love you. I praise God for the love between a husband and a wife. You know why your wife does all these things for you? Why your husband does these things for you? They do it because of love. They love you. And you see their love. But notice what he prays. Not only we're grounded in love, but what kind of love? Verse 18. That you may be able to comprehend. That you may get a greater understanding of the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now I want you to understand something. As I've been meditating on this scripture, and you need to meditate upon these scriptures, it is difficult for us to really understand or attempt to understand how much God loves us. You know, it's immense. But it's important for us to focus on that. Because you know what the devil wants you to feel and believe? He wants you to feel that you're unlovable. He wants you to think that you're not worth being loved. He wants you to think that nobody loves you. And he wants you to think that you're not worthy of the love of God. Well, let me tell you something. You're going to see in 1 John, God can't help but love you because God is love.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And you don't earn God's love any more than you earn the salvation. He loves you because he loves you. Like your mom and dad love you because they love you.
Yeah.
Your grandparents love you because they love you. Now, look at what he says here. That we might know and understand the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you would be filled up with the fullness of God. Last night, dusk. I'm outside. I told Patty, I said, I'm going out to pray. There were several things I needed to pray about, several things. And I went out in the back, and I sat in a chair, and the snow flurries were falling. And the sky was gray and dark, and you could see the shadows of the treetops with no leaves on them, and I could see the deer coming in. They were little shadowy figures, and they were probably about 50 yards up ahead of me, coming in to feed. And I was looking forward. And I closed my eyes and I just sat back and I lifted my hands and I started praying, thanking God that he loved me, asking for an anointing this morning. And those little snowflakes, which I had what we call in the low country a toboggan, I think people up north, out west call them beanies, what, you know, whatever. So I didn't have a whole lot exposed, but I had my cheeks were exposed. And I came back in and I told Patty, I said, you know, I was out there praying, Patty, and I lifted my face up, and those little snowflakes were hitting my cheeks. I said, you know, it felt like kisses from heaven. And I told Patty that, and that thought came to my mind. And you know, that's God. God just wants you to know He loves you. And how many times have I gone through life and I'm not meditating upon this great truth that He loves me and He's not going to stop loving me. Now, notice what it results in. What did we see in Deuteronomy? Because He loves us, He's going to lead us to obedience, and then He wants to give us the early rain, the latter rain, and bless our land. Now, because He loves us, He wants to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. According to the power that works in us. Isn't that something? I got to tell a story about Shelby Weeks. He was my pastor. Shelby Weeks had a farm. He was a big bird hunter. And right next to his farm was the farm of a guy that played for the New York Yankees. His name was Bobby Richardson. And so the Richardson farm was here and Shelby's farm was here. And I actually got to go up and hunt quail with him. And one year before Christmas, Shelby was a little boy about 11 or 12 years old. And they went into the Western Auto store. And I don't even know if we still got Western Auto, but they did back then. Hendersonville, North Carolina had the most beautiful Western Auto store at Christmas time. And but anyway, Shelby was in there, and his dad was talking to the man at the counter. He was a farmer, and he found these bicycle grips, and they had streamers. And he said, Dad, and it's a true story now. He said, Dad, he said, boy, I'd like to have these bicycle grips, and they'd really look good on my bicycle. And Shelby's dad said, no, Shelby, I'm not giving you the bicycle grips. And he went back and he looked at him. He came up again. His dad was still talking to the man behind the counter. And he come back. And he said, Shelby, it's Christmas. Money's tight. You're not getting these bicycle grips. And he said, man, I got so upset. I pouted. We got the truck. I pouted all the way back to the farm. I pouted for 3 or 4 days, Christmas Eve. I wanted them bicycle grips. Well, Christmas morning, he got up. Shelby says, there sitting by that tree was a brand new red Firestone bicycle. And he said, my daddy said, and he said, man, tears filled my eyes. And my daddy said, Shelby, the whole time you were asking me for those bicycle grips, I was talking to the man about getting the red Firestone bicycle. And you know, Shelby said, that's how our prayer life is. We're asking God for bicycle grips. And we get upset when He doesn't give them to us. And if we'll wait a little while and be patient, let God do things His way and in His time, and He'll give us a brand new red Firestone bicycle. And so I want you to read that scripture. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And you know, there are times we're praying for the bicycle grips and you may not be getting them, but hold on. God has got a plan, and out of His love, He wants to give you more than what you're even asking for. Is that not wonderful?
Amen.
That's how much He loves you. Our Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts to His children, and there's not a godly parent in this room or listening on this website that does not want to give to their children more and more, and there are times you wish you had more so you could give them more. Well, I praise God. In His riches and glory, He's got all there is, and He wants to bestow these blessings on you. But there are times we can tie the hands of God. So notice what He's saying there. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4. And look at what the scripture says. Ephesians 2 verse 4. It says this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loves us. His great love. It's not just love. It is a great love. A lavish love. Go with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, because it goes from great to greater. Y'all are beating me because Brother Leo still got the new Bible. John chapter 15. Verse 13. Well, I'll tell you, go to verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh my goodness, you think we're going to get there, Cleo? Am I ever going to be able to love you as much as God loves me? No, but I'm never going to quit trying. I'm never going to quit being energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm never going to come to a plateau and say, I'm loving Cleo as much as I can love Cleo. I want to praise God. I can love Cleo more tomorrow, and I'm loving him today. Because I can love as Christ has loved me through the Holy Spirit that's been shed abroad in my heart. So look what he says. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I have called you friends, and you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Well, what's that mean, Brother Leo? Verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. What's he saying there, Brother Leo? He's saying you are in such an intimate relationship with him. You are in a friendship, a loving friendship relationship with the Lord, by which he reveals more and more of himself to you, and more of himself unto you. And the more you come into understanding through your quiet time with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you're going to enjoy and take in and understand the volume of the love of Jesus Christ for you. And so you say, okay, Brother Leo, well, if he loves me so much, why hadn't he taken care of this? And if he loves me so much, why hadn't this been done in my life? Why hadn't this prayer been answered? Well, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11 again. Because we're tying three things together. We're tying God's love for us, our love for him. Secondly, we're tying our obedience unto him. And then third, we're tying his blessings upon us as a result of our obedience. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, and I showed this to you last week. Now in verse 12, verse 13, he talks about his love. In verse 22, he talks about his love. And then you come to the simplicity of the whole thing, verse 26. Deuteronomy 11, 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of my way, out of the Lord's way, and go your own way, and do things your way, and don't follow the commandments I command you this day, and you go after other gods, other desires, worldliness, materialism, pride, prestige, whatever, which you have not known. So, what I want you to understand, we've been teaching three things in this series. Number one, you want to put yourself in a position by which you can hear God. That means daily, you need to get alone with him. You need to have your devotional time, have your prayer time, talk to the Lord about things. And you need to listen to God. Some people's problems, they listen to people more than they listen to God. So you need to listen to God. Secondly, you need to put yourself in a position where you're following God. Yeah. Were the children of Israel leaving? They had to keep the Ark of the Covenant a half a mile out in front. Yeah. And when you see the Ark of the Covenant move, you move. When it stops, you stop. God is not my co-pilot. I am God's co-pilot. And then thirdly, what we're studying today, you want to put yourself in a position by which God can bless you. And so, Brother Leo, what is that? That's obedience. I want God to bless this area in my life, so I'm going to try to keep this area in obedience unto God. I want him to bless, I'm going to keep this area in my life in obedience unto God. So here we go. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey. I'll send the rain. I'll do all these things. And a curse if you will not obey. Now, I want you to understand, a blessing is God's call. He may still not answer the prayer the way you think it ought to be answered. You may still not get what you think you need to be asking for. But 5 years from now, you'll look back and you'll say, thank you, Jesus. Boy, you were in control the whole way. You know, I want to praise God, Jared, that God didn't answer a lot of prayers the way I prayed them. And God didn't give me a lot of things I was asking for. Because He sees the end from the beginning. So He will bless you, and I'll trust Him. But look at what He says. A curse if you deliberately don't obey. So I want to say something to you right now, and I said it last week. I'm saying it again in part two. You don't want any area of deliberate sin and disobedience to exist and continue in your life. Now, Lehman, I can sin as soon as I walk out this door. Somebody might ride by and roll their window down and holler something at me, and I jump in the flesh and I holler something back at them. Yeah. You know, like, we're going to beat you to the buffet. Yeah, you Methodist. You know, I'm falling to sin in a heartbeat. But I didn't plan to walk out there and sin. I didn't hold on to a pattern of sin. So when you've got deliberate disobedience in your life, you're tying the hands of God. Not that He won't mercifully bless you and look out for you, but you're not receiving all that God has for you. And He may allow you to be in a desert when there's disobedience in your life. You're going to go through dry times because He's trying to get you into obedience. Because He knows what's best. And He wants to bless you. So when there are deliberate areas of disobedience in your life, you tie the hands of God, the hands that desire to bless you, the hands that desire, Malachi 3:10, to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you'll not have room enough to take in. That's talking about the financial area in your life. When your finances are under the direction of God, God blesses you. God blesses you. He takes care of things. He looks out for you. So every area of your life must be brought into obedience unto God. And you got to be honest with God. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 17, the scripture says this. And I didn't quote this scripture last week, but I alluded to it through a statement I made. And so I'm going to have to remake the statement because I didn't tie the scripture to it. In James chapter 4, verse 17, it says this. Therefore to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. You'd be better off, Judy, if you didn't know. For him to know to do good and does it not, it is sin. From a biblical perspective, you know what the Bible says. You know what God expects. You know what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And like I told you, you can sit in counseling with somebody and they can say, well, Brother Leo, I know this is wrong, but. Brother Leo, I know this is a sin, but. Brother Leo, I know God's children shouldn't be doing this. But I want you to understand, there are no buts, B-U-T-S. There are no buts when it comes to walking in obedience. Why are you deliberately sinning against God? That's the question. Why is this area in your life not under obedience unto God? Why are you doing this your way and not waiting on God to do it His way? Why? I don't trust. I don't trust God with my finances. I've not come to the understanding yet that 100% of what I've got is because of God. Every blessing in my life is because of God. Why don't you trust God with your children? Why are you planning out your children's future? Well, I've not come to the understanding yet that my children are a gift from God. I've not come to the understanding that God's got a plan. And guess what? It's better than mine.
Amen.
Not come to that understanding yet. I praise God for the easy things in my life. What are those, really? Number one, Judy, we talked about it Wednesday. Number one, I know I can't preach. That's a no-brainer for me to put in God's hands. Because I can't speak in front of a crowd. I know. Got a C in business policy, 1982, College of Charleston. Had to give 3 oral reports. Got up there, my throat closed up. Did great. Made A's in all of my other courses. Professor, content got me a C, not the presentation. Can you believe that? First thing I told my pastor as we sat, and I said, Joe, I think God's calling me to preach. He goes, well, what's the problem? Joe, David Ruddle, I told him, Joe Youngblood, Walterboro, South Carolina. I said, Joe, I can't speak in front of a crowd. So and it's so easy to give God something you know you can't do. I don't know how to pastor a church, Ken. Never went to seminary. You people are listening to a guy with a business degree with an emphasis on marketing. I don't know how to pastor a church. I praise God for those things in life that we know that we know. Hey, I can't do this, God, so you're going to have to do it. Well, guess what? Those aren't the only two things in my life. My problem comes in when I think I do know. What's best? Not that God can't give you wisdom. But there's a difference between the wisdom of God and leaning on my own understanding. A huge, huge difference. So for him to know what's wrong, I know this is not right, but go with me to John 14. Go with me to John 14. Jesus says this calmly. He says it confidently. John 14. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I made this statement last week. I'm going to make it again. Obedience, number one. Obedience not motivated by my love for God, which is a return of His love for me. Not that I loved Him. He first loved me. Is robotic, it's cold, it's mechanical, it definitely doesn't fulfill you, it is draining, it's religious drudgery. You know, it's like you come into church and you're saying, and Patty talked about it Wednesday night, you come to church and say, what time do we get out? You know, what time do y'all get out? Hey, you remember what was told you in a hotel room many miles from here? First time an individual heard me, you're listening to me, and they say, boy, he preaches a long time. Now things are kind of the worms turning. What about this thing called baptism? You know, again. It takes a while. Boy, he preaches a long time. What time do we get out? Somebody said that in Patty's class a while back, and the other person responded, we get at 12, and Patty goes, no, we don't. And they said, well, when do we get out, Miss Patty? She says, when the Holy Spirit leads Brother Leo to stop. You know, that's important that we teach that. That we learn to understand that. But if you're going to church wanting it to be over, love that new preacher coat, sis. You know, we're getting out at 11:45. Is he doctrinal? We don't know. But we're getting out at 11:45. I love being here. You know why I love being here? Because of you. And you know why I love being here? Because of him.
Amen.
And I need it.
Yeah.
And I need it.
Yeah.
And so without love, it is drudgery. But notice this also. Love that does not result in action or a desire to be with someone or commune with someone or live a life that pleases them. Love that does not result in enjoying your relationship, doing things together. It's not true love. It's just lip service. Cameron, it's just lip service. I love you. You know, you got a husband tells a wife, I love you. You got a wife tells a husband, I love you. Well, are they feeling your love? Do they feel your love? What have you done to express your love? Well, I get them candy every Valentine's Day. And we laugh at that and we say, boy, that's shallow. Well, when it comes to us and God, a lot of us have relationships by which it's kind of like we're giving him candy every Valentine's Day. My friend, love, when it's real love, it's a daily flow. You know, it's a river of flow between you and your beloved. And your beloved in you. Go with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, Jesus asks this, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You ever met somebody that told you, you know, how are you going to heaven? Yeah. Well, how are you going? I keep the commandments. You do? Yeah. I've never committed adultery, never committed murder. I don't lie. I don't steal. I'm good to people. But they never say, I love God. We're going to heaven based on the love God has for us and the love we've received from Him and the love we're sending back to Him based on His work on the cross and salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What is the first and great commandment? That you love me with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Love is everything to God. Your love for Him is everything. Go to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I love Patty so much I took her fishing on Friday. She loves me so much she's taking me Tuesday. No, we're hitting the Olive Garden. I'm a big spender. We want the special. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Jesus said, Yea, Lord, you know I love you. He saith unto them, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, do you love me more than these? And in verse 17, he says unto him the third time, Simon, do you love me? Simon, do you love me? Put your name there. Is he asking us that question today? Lehman, do you love me? Are there times in our lives where we, like Peter, are denying God, ignoring God, not serving God, not doing the things we ought to be doing? Do you love? And you know what I love? Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter. Three times John describes himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. I want you to understand something about John. You think John was a great man. You think he was a great apostle. You think he achieved great things under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you one thing John knew. He knew God loved him. He knew God loved him. I want everyone in this building to know God loves you. Amen. And it's everything to the Lord that you love Him in return. Put your name there. Ken, do you love me? Betty, do you love me? Dolan, do you love me? Now go with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Well, how do I love God back? How do I attempt to love Him back? Keep your hand there. I'm changing the order, or the Holy Spirit is. Go to 1 Peter. Keep your hand in 1 John. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. How do you love somebody you've never seen? And though you don't see Him now, yet you believe in Him. The same power, the same energy that allows you to have faith in Christ is the same power and the same energy that allows you to love Christ, even though you don't see Him. So go back to 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. So, when you're born of God, when you're born again, you enter into a relationship by which you know Him. Personal relationship, Lena. Nicodemus is told you must be born again. You got to be able to look back over your life and say, yeah, when I was in the eighth grade, I got saved. I went through a period of time. Cleo, look back over your life. Would you say Wednesday? How old? How old were you when you got saved? 50. Cleo says, when I was 50 years old, I found Jesus as Lord and Savior. I came under that conviction. I accepted Him. You got it. Because let me tell you something. Even though I don't remember it, I was born physically. And Jesus said, you must be reborn spiritually. It's got to be a real experience. Not about being baptized, or you should after you get saved. But it's not about being a church member. Now, look, everything that is born of God and knows God knows how to love. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. I want you to understand something. When a husband and wife are married and they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they can love each other. They can have a love, but they will never have the depth, the power, and the strength of God's love flowing between them. That's why Jesus said, be ye not unequally yoked. That's why Blair and Emma and Lauren, you don't need to date a lost person. Because you may fall in love with them. You want to date somebody that already knows Jesus. And you say, Brother Leo, I'm already in love with Him and I don't want to break up. Well, you tell him. Go ahead and tell him. I'm a Christian. I do love you. And I want you to one day come to Jesus. And when you do and you're walking with the Lord, we'll reestablish your relationship. And if it's real, God will bring them back. But you don't deliberately disobey God. Now, once you get married and you get saved and somebody else is not saved, Paul says, stay together and win the other one to Jesus. So we've got direction in what to do. But the important thing is, we want the love of God flowing between us and God, and the love of God flowing between one another. Love one another after you've received the love of God. Now, verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through His death, burial, and resurrection and sacrifice on the cross. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or sacrifice or substitutionary sacrifice for our sin. I want to read that to you again, the first part. Herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us first and came to die for us. So I want you to understand, your love of God, first of all, is a response. Love responds to love. Even in fallen human nature, and let me tell you something else, hate responds to hate. A lot of times. If you got the Holy Spirit in you, you overcome evil with good. But notice that. Herein is love. Not that we love God first, but He reached out to us first. He reached out to us first. I mean, doesn't it feel good if some young man calls you and wants to go out with you, or you find out so-and-so likes you, you know? I mean, that's good. Helps your self-esteem, your value. Man, that guy's a, you know, Mr. Wayne County High School, and he likes me or whatever. You know, captain of the football team, he likes me. Well, guess what? How much better should it make you feel to find out the perfect, righteous, holy, creator of the universe, He likes you. He loves you. He wants to woo you into a relationship with Him. Jump all the way down to verse 19. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. I didn't first love God. He first loved me. Now, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. Y'all aren't going to be able to see God. I can preach the word, I cannot show you God. If we love one another, God dwells in us and His love is perfected in us. So how do people come to Jesus Christ? By seeing the love of God in us. Paul said, if I have all the knowledge in the world and have not love, I am worthless. If I have the greatest singing voice in the world and have not love, I'm like a tinkling cymbal. If I give my body to be burned for the poor and have not love, it profits me nothing. I'd rather have a dumb preacher teach me the Word of God with a heart full of the love of God than a guy with a doctorate behind his name that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because it's all about the love of God. And Lehman said amen because that's what he's got. He's got a dumb preacher that doesn't have a doctorate, but he's got the love of God in his heart. And amen. But notice what he says. Verse 13. And hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Verse 12 and 13 are literally the same thing. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Holy Spirit. Go with me to Romans 5. How do you love somebody you've not seen? Well, once you believe in Him, trust in Him, commit to Him, He sends you the Holy Spirit. The first work of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 5 is this. And I close with this. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, the scripture says, well, verse 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet for a good man some would dare to die. But God commended his love toward us while we were sinners, while we were enemies, while we were flaunting our pride before God. Christ still died for us. When we were unlovable from a human standpoint, he commended his love toward us. And then when we get saved, in verse 5, it says this: the love of God gets shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which God gives us at the point of salvation. So how do I love someone I don't see? You love them based on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives me the love of God to share back with him. So how can I become more active in my love for God? How can I gain more understanding? The Bible says at times our love grows cold. The Bible says at times we have left our first love. And how does all that happen? By neglecting our personal relationship with the Lord and quenching the Holy Spirit in our lives. Or grieving the Holy Spirit. Brother Leo, all you got to do to walk in love with Jesus and enjoy his love and be able to trust him with your life, with your loved ones, feel that you're enveloped in the love of God, is keep up your personal relationship with the Lord by the energy of the Holy Spirit that indwells you. And the energy of the Holy Spirit produces more and more of the love of God in your heart to overflow back to God and to flow out to others. Yes, 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 yes. That's how it works. Showing up for church once a week, singing the songs, going home, there's no love of God there. And I want you to understand, when the love of God is flowing in your life, it brings value into your life, purpose into your life, meaning into your life, passion into your life, trust into your life. God is love, and God has an immensity of love for you. And it changes everything. I mean, it's an easy thing to do, Terry, when the devil tells you you're just no good, say, God loves me. God loves me so much, he died for me. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but guess what? God's going to love you tomorrow. And you got to allow the love of God to be rooted and grounded in your heart and in your life for any other relationship, any other endeavor, any other area of living to be in God's will. You know the scripture I was studying it this morning. God loves a cheerful giver. That means somebody that is giving out of their heart based on gratitude for all God's done for them. You know, and so, man, I've been blessed so much, I got to bless somebody else. Well, God loves a cheerful lover. I've been loved by God so much, I'm going to love others. I'm going to grow in that love. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Martha Jo to come play softly. And I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord a couple of questions today, because I want you to understand something. I trust Patty with my life. I'm going to tell you something. Cameron, I tell this story all the time. I've been pastoring 38 years. I literally have not seen one of my checks yet. I've not seen one of my checks. People give Patty the check. They always have. And you know why? Because I don't do this for the money. And symbolically for me to get handed a check, that works against my mindset. So I don't want it. Patty, you take it, handle it, you know, do what you want. I trust her implicitly. You know why? I know she loves me. You having a hard time giving God a child? You having a hard time giving God an area of your life? I'm going to tell you something, my friend. You need to know God loves you. You can trust Him with this. You can trust Him with this. You can trust Him with this person. You can trust Him with this situation. I'm going to ask you during this time of invitation to just say, Lord Jesus, show me an area in my life where I just need to be filled and enveloped with an understanding of how much You love me, where I can let it flow back to You and I can trust You with this and give it over to You, Jesus. And while you're praying today, would you take a few moments and thank the Lord Jesus for loving you so much and for all the blessings He has lovingly brought in to your life. My friend, I know we're facing a lot in America today. America needs the love of God. They need to experience the love of God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, spend a few moments with Jesus.